A busy day at the State House today. House lawmakers voted to send money to the Rainy Day Fund and on a raft of other bills. The state Senate, meanwhile, passed a redistricting map and unveiled what Senate President Peter Bragdon called a bipartisan education funding constitutional amendment. NHPR's Josh Rogers joins me now to discuss the day's action. Hi, Josh.
Good afternoon, Brady.
Let's start with the constitutional amendment. Governor Lynch called for a bipartisan plan to make it easier to target school aid in yesterday's State of the State address. So how does this one fit the bill?
Well, Senate President Bragdon says Governor Lynch has been party to the proposal. And in a statement, the governor said, on its face, it appears to achieve his goals. The language is quite similar to amendments Lynch has backed in the past. Basically, it cites Part 2, Article 83 of the Constitution and says, in fulfillment of that, the legislature should have full power, authority, and responsibility to define reasonable standards for education. It goes on to say lawmakers shall also have full authority to determine the amount of money and method of raising it and distribution of those funds for education.
The language in these amendments gets plenty of scrutiny. Does anything leap out here that might doom this thing?
Well, the word of responsibility isn't something that top House Republicans have been comfortable with. They essentially favor an amendment that would totally and explicitly undo the Claremont rulings and make the funding of education an utterly local matter. On the other side, you've got lawmakers, mainly Democrats, who say an amendment like this would allow the state to jettison its current duties to pay for an adequate education. And you know, it's worth remembering that amendments must win a supermajority in Concord and then two-thirds at the ballot box. So we're a long ways off.
All right, on to the state Senate, which passed a redistricting map that can often be a fairly partisan exercise. How does this map look?
Well, the most notable part of the map on its face is that it places Portsmouth and Durham, which are both Democratic enclaves, in a single district. State Senate Democratic leader Sylvia Larson derided that as creating what she referred to as a Democratic ghetto. Republican leaders, meanwhile, point to a lower range of deviation and say math and not politics are what have drove this process. It is always both, though.
This is not a budget year, but the budget got some attention in the House today. What happened?
Well, Republican leaders voted to take $26 million in a presumed surplus from last year and immediately sock it away in the Rainy Day Fund. They say it's responsible, might improve the state's bond rating, and sends a fiscally austere message in a time when they're still looking to make good on campaign promises to rein in spending and keep taxes low.
The state is on a two-year budget cycle. Is this mostly symbolic?
Well, to a degree, it's symbolic. But if the money goes into the Rainy Day Fund, it's out of circulation. And critics do point out that the state has liabilities, including a multi-million dollar Medicaid debt to the federal government and bond payments that this money might be used to pay off. Some Democrats also want to spend the money on programs, but that's simply not going to happen.
And House leaders were also assertive today on some immigration-related measures. What were those?
Well, one of them was a bill to require students to verify citizenship to qualify for in-state tuition rates in the UNH system. Another is a resolution supporting Arizona's aggressive law policing illegal immigration. Both passed the House by big margins. On the Arizona resolution, the margin was 243 to 102, with House Speaker William O'Brien voting in the majority, which is a rare step. Speakers don't tend to vote on measures.
Another theme that we've seen in this legislative session, state sovereignty?
I'd say sovereignty, period. Another bill that cleared the House today, one limiting the government's power in emergency, put that in stark relief.
What did that proposal say?
Well, basically it says that even in an emergency, the state should never have the power to take private property. Shortly after 9/11, the then Republican-controlled legislature gave the state safety commissioner the power to take private property, supplies, fuel, vehicles, except through a governor's warrant. Those who had their property taken would be compensated. There's no indication this law, which was signed by then-Governor Jeanne Shaheen, has ever been abused. But critics say putting private property at the risk of state seizure in any circumstance is simply wrong. And the repeal cleared the House by close to a 3-to-1 margin.
NHPR's Josh Rogers, thank you.
You're welcome, Brady.